There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are joined by Alex Dono's co-host here on the Locked on ACC podcast. Kenton Gibbs is here with us this morning on QAM. Kenton, good morning. Thank you for the time.
Oh, good morning. I'm always happy to be here, especially, you know, Hollywood Dono is the right nickname for that guy. He's definitely a Hollywood type of guy, and I'm not talking about Hollywood, Florida, if you catch my drift.
Well, Ken, let's jump right into it here, if we can. And, boy, there has been a lot of news here coming out of the ACC, and they want to mix this thing up, apparently. They are floating some ideas around as far as, you know, do you want to have the regular season champions sit out the championship game and let 2 and 3 battle it out so you could get another team in the playoff potentially? Do you want to do some sort of, you know, 1 versus 4, 2 versus 3, and then make it a 2-game situation here? They're bouncing around some ideas here. What do you think of these things here?
You know, I'm not a person who doesn't believe if it ain't broke, don't fix it, but it really does feel like we're reinventing the wheel here. Imagine a world where all the conferences already came up with a system, where teams kind of play each other in a round-robin type of setting during the regular season. And then the top two teams out of those groups, or out of that kind of format, play each other. And then we call them a champion. Who knows? Crazy idea. Insane idea. But I think that might be the winner of the group. Because to have number one sit out all together to try to gamify the system, that is pansy-like, that is soft, that is everything that is wrong with football right now. And then to have the idea of, well, you know, not only will we have all of our top four teams have a chance, but we're also going to extend your season to make you play an extra game in order to decide a champion. It's just, all of it is foolish. The way that it works now is perfectly fine. And to throw an extra game onto ACC team schedules would be absolutely unfair. The only way I could see this being feasible is if it was a situation where they took away a non-conference game and said, hey, y'all have to play an extra conference game at the end of the season, and that last conference game will be to be determined, because while 1 through 4 go through the conference tournament, everybody else would be assigned a random team. And even with that, I mean, I would believe that it would have to be Army-Navy week, because nobody wants to be the only rivalry not playing on rivalry week.
No, that's a fair point. Kenton Gibbs is with us. You know, KG, another thing that, you know, people are talking about, the college football playoff format. We had the first year of 12 teams. People loved to complain about it. I actually enjoyed the way the playoff played out. But when it comes to ideas about changing the seeding, possibly so that you don't give like an Arizona State a first round bye like you had this year. And I also, Kenton, something I'm sure we'll talk about on the next episode of Locked on ACC as well. I read an article this morning that, you know, the SEC and the Big Ten are going to have a meeting about how they want the college football playoff format to be tweaked. I don't think the ACC or the Big 12 or anybody else is being invited to that meeting. So you know what that means. They're going to try to make it as favorable for their own conferences as possible. But I mean, would you do much of anything? Would you tweak the 12 team format after what you saw this year?
Well, I may tweak how the buys work. I may tweak that just a little bit. But in terms of how everything else went, I don't think it's necessarily fair to make some of the adjustments that are likely going to come down the pipe if the SEC and Big Ten have their way. The adjustment that I see as the most correct or the most, you know, sane and succinct of them would be to have conference champions get home field advantage in the first round. To me, I really don't care how you cut it, how you slice it. If you are the better team, but you just didn't win your conference because you play in oh-so-powerful of a conference, that's fine. Go prove it on the road. Go prove it on the road. If Penn State is that much better of a team than SMU, you can prove it in Dallas. Because if Texas is a better team than Clemson, they can go prove it in Death Valley. Because guess what? Clemson won their conference. The fair and square. They did the thing. So to me, there should be a reward beyond, hey, you're here. You get a seat here for conference champions. To me, you should be awarded a home game, and the at-largest have to go to the home teams in order to, you know, make it further in the playoffs. But in terms of reseeding and all that, I'm not wholly against bye weeks as they are currently set up, and I would assume that those top four teams would be against bye weeks. I mean, hell, they went 0-4 this year. Not a single team with a bye won a game this year. So, you know, I'm not sure I would adjust that all too much. I would just make sure that, hey, if you're a conference champion, if you're one of the top five conference champions and you get in, you deserve a home game. You don't just deserve the treatment of, well, you won, so you're here technically. Not go on the road into one of the most ruckus environments and win a football game.
So I'm already seeing way too early 2025 predictions coming out on all the websites that cover college football, people identifying like who are playoff contenders, who's not, from the ACC. And of course, you know, we're in Miami here, Kenton. So I'd love your take on whether you think Miami can compete and get into one of those top 12 spots this year and elsewhere in the ACC. I know you and I both believe Clemson is probably the odds-on favorite to win the ACC this year based on who they're returning for next year and the lack of turnover compared to some of the other teams out there. But, I mean, how many teams in the ACC do you think will be bona fide playoff contenders for next year?
Oh, man. You know, if we're talking how many teams I believe, hey, this team is a solid playoff contender heading into next season, I see maybe 2 to 3. And I could be surprised because we believed that we had multiple this year and turned out we were wrong. Turned out all of us talking heads are just that. We're talking heads, but we may watch ball. We may think we know ball, but who could have predicted how bad Florida State was going to be last year? Who could have predicted how good SMU was going to be last year? But at the moment, I currently see 2 to 3 teams that I look at and I say, hey, this team, they're right there. They're knocking on the door. I'm not going to be surprised. Or they were there last year. And those teams, I know this is Miami Station, but Dono, you know how I feel about Carson Beck. You know how I feel about him. I don't seriously see Miami as one of those teams only because of him, because I believe that he's a thermostat. A thermometer guy, not a thermostat guy. I think that he'll tell you the temperature of your offense. I don't think he's going to raise the temperature of your offense. I don't think – Cam Ward, ultimate thermostat guy. That is a guy, wherever you put him, congratulations, that offense just got exponentially better. Carson Beck, I don't know. I see him as a guy that's like, I mean, hey, he's cool. You know, he ain't going to kill you. He's going to get it into the playmaker's hand, but you need some big-time playmakers around him if you're going to do something special, in my opinion, there. But in terms of teams who do have it and are looking prime, I mean, Clemson is not losing a ton of weapons. I mean, that team should be loaded going into next year. Wesco will finally understand a majority of the playbook, most likely, because it's not a situation where this young man is having one camp to figure out everything he needs to and go from there. Williams, everybody knows what a stud I think he is. If their other receiver can stay healthy, number 13, I believe his last name is Brown. If he can stay healthy, that group could be dangerous. That group could be downright terrifying. in terms of their ability. And Cade took a step last year. Actually, he didn't take a step. He took a step, a skip, a hop, and a jump last year, because by the end of the year, he was exponentially better than we ever could have imagined. So I think that their team, SMU, obviously, much better in the trenches than we believed last year. Kevin Jennings has got to clean up those turnover problems. But if he can do that, Rhett Lashley has coached up that team to be hard-nosed, to be physical up front, stopping the run like nobody's business. And so if that offense can just maintain where they are, which, I mean, I don't know if Miami fans know anything about that Rhett Lashley guy. I'm kidding. Of course y'all do. He's a hell of an offensive mind. So, you know, it's those are probably the two teams that I would definitely say, oh, yeah, they're I have no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The third team, this may shock some people. This may disappoint some people. Georgia Tech. Haynes King is a guy that I look at and regard very highly. My question about them, can you finally stop being the upset the apple cart team and be the team that shows up week in and week out? They have the talent there at many positions. Obviously, losing one of the best receivers in the nation coming back is not ideal. But you have the talent there. You have a quarterback that's on his 12th year. When Haynes King started playing college football, I had a firm hairline. I'm as bald as Dono now. So that team, to me, they're built the right way in the trenches. And we have seen when they play to the upper end of their potential, they can play with and hang with anybody. My only problem is, can they play to that potential consistently? And I'm sorry, fourth team here, last team is Louisville. Louisville, that running back duo they got is special. Those two young men, they're going to be legends in Louisville if they reach their top potential. And Brom is the quarterback whisperer. The new transfer in from USC didn't look bad. He wasn't the reason USC has had their struggles. You know, it's hard to win when your defense is giving up 30-plus points per game. So
yeah, we know that down here.
Trust me, I get it. And so I look at those four teams as like, hey, those are the four where I think they're bringing back enough weapons, and I think they're bringing back enough defensively, and I think they're bringing back enough at quarterback to where I'm like, I'm expecting you to contend. I'm expecting all four of those teams to either be there or be damn close. And there are multiple other teams that people would like to mention in that category, and I just don't think they're there yet.
Ken, I want to thank you for the time this morning. Appreciate it. Love the outlook on the conference, and thank you for spending some time with us here this morning.
Absolutely. Anything for my main man, Dono. If y'all couldn't tell, I was joking when I said Dono is Hollywood earlier. He's one of the best in the business. I'm excited to come on with you, brother.